has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
And amen, amen. Looking forward to a good program tonight and some good testimonies. And guys, I'll let you know when your callers call in, and we'll be standing by.
Okay. We thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody to this Wednesday evening, and thank you for taking time to join us for Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? Hope is Alive is a show about testimony of those who have been set free from demonic spirits, from evil spirits, from depression, suicide, pornography, sexual lust, homosexuality, just about anything out there that oppresses a person. It can be taken care of, all by the power of the Holy Spirit acting through Christians like you and me, through the process called deliverance. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, or maybe you want to do deliverance yourself, or just need more study and need the materials, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. And it's right there, the click of a mouse. You can bring it up on your smartphone, you can bring it up on the computer, a tablet. This has about everything there that we talk about each week, week in and week out. Or if you prefer a book, it would be an excellent book to have in your arsenal, good book to have just to be able to reference and do the things you need to do for deliverance. It's a step-by-step study guide, step-by-step process to do deliverance. And you can do it's called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. It's nearly 40 years' worth of experience laid down there in the book. He's already figured out how to do it, so you don't have to. So take advantage of it. Work harder, not smarter. Oh, I'm sorry, work smarter, not harder. I had that backwards. But you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that book. He will get that out to you if you need it. Well, Pastor, here we are, another Wednesday. I don't know about you. We had a beautiful day here in the Ozarks. Beautiful spring day, just loving this time of the year, loving this weather. and just enjoying life and life abundantly.
Yes, that's warm weather is coming, even though that breeze today was a little on the chilly side, but it's just around the corner, and better fishing weather even. So, yeah, it looks good. It was a peaceful day.
Well, good, good. Well, Pastor, tell us about Monday night.
Well, another great evening. 37 years of Monday night deliverance sessions or exorcism sessions. And we had 13 this time. Had extra ministers even. And it just went by the book. It was a smooth, coordinated, you know, you keep doing it long enough, you get reasonably good at it. And it just went, it was another smooth evening of everything just coordinating just right with all the ministers. And I ministered to a man that had been a missionary to the Navajos. And in fact, he's going to be on at 9:35 to tell about his deliverances with the Navajos and other places. He came to Deliverance Ministries about 20 years ago, and I guess got started about that time and been at it all this time. But yeah, it was
fantastic.
A great evening. I'm still on a high from it. You know how that goes. I'm on a high for several days in a row after a ministry session.
Well, it's definitely it definitely does lift you up, because as you do ministry for somebody, you can just you see instant results almost every time, and just seeing it transform and helping people with what's oppressed them, you just can't help but be on that high. I mean, it's a fantastic feeling, and it's just doing the works, the supernatural works of Jesus, and that's what they do every Monday night there, just about every Monday night there at Oklahoma City, and it's just a real simple process that they've laid out and worked out over the years. They lead everybody through the problem, give everybody the problem list, let them fill it out. Then they take them through the door closing prayer, which is so, so important to have that door closing prayer. I highly recommend everybody at least once a year go through that door closing prayer again, if they haven't already, just to close any doors you may have opened in your life from the last time of deliverance, the last time you said it. And then while that's going on, there's training upstairs with the team leaders. And then they have, I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes of praise and worship music going on. And they take communion and they blow the shofar and to announce spiritual warfare. And they go down and they kick butt and take names on those demons.
That's right. It's in time for a demonic attack on these things, and to cast them out and heal the sick and all the good things, exciting things that Jesus did. We find ourselves doing the same in his name, according to John 14:12, that we're to do the same works of Jesus, and of course in his name. And it's just amazing that we are all doing that. And the teams,
yes,
all kind of are amazed that we can do that, but what drives us on are the testimonies of the people, mm-hmm, where their lives have turned around. As I've often said, we quit long ago if this didn't work. Well, it does work. And in one evening, people can see their lives turned around from usually several dozen different tormenting areas in their life. And
yes,
that's about how many spirits we usually cast out of each Christian that comes. Not that a Christian could be possessed, our spirit man being totally secure, since we have these three parts, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, but the demons are tormenting Christians in the body area and the soul area, the mind, will, emotions, and that terribly blocks so many people's lives.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times with Christians, they get confused on what's the difference between demonic possession and demonic oppression, and there's a big difference, and obviously a demon cannot possess a Christian, but they can certainly oppress them. because we are told in the scriptures that these things happen, to be on the alert, because our adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That wasn't written to the unsaved. That was written to the saved. Peter wrote that to other Christians. And then you had James talking about resist the devil and he shall flee. Well, why would he tell Christians to resist the devil? And obviously the devil has demons under his charge. So that would be another way of resisting. You know, when you resist the devil, you resist those that are under him. But why would he tell that to Christians if they couldn't be oppressed and they couldn't be affected by them? It would make no sense whatsoever.
Exactly. Exactly. It is kind of funny how people argue over whether it's suppressed or possessed, or, you know, they come up with all these names. I always say to them, well, if you're bothered by evil spirits, let's get rid of them.
That's right.
It doesn't matter so much what you call it. If you're bothered, you're bothered. So let's go
after
them.
Right. I know, and I mean, demonic spirits are out there. They attack. We see it every day in the news. Now we've got the national news hitting in Colorado again of a man that walks in and just starts randomly shooting people. That's not the action of a person who's sane. That's not the action of someone who's in complete control. That's the action of someone who is being influenced and probably flat-out demon-possessed, but certainly definitely influenced. And we know that can happen because Satan entered into Judas, and it caused him to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. It can happen to others. And we had a recent thing happen a little bit east of Springfield, where a man, just for no reason whatsoever, he just got fed up, got angry, walked out to his car, got his gun, came in and shot both of his in-laws and his wife. And just sat down, called the police, and said, come get him. I will not put up a fight or anything. And when asked why he did it, he said, I don't know why I did it. I was just fed up with them. And they said, well, they asked, would you take it back? And he's like, well, of course I would, but I can't. But I'm guilty. So, you know, and I said, look at that. That was probably some sort of spirit begging him on to go do it. I mean, it's just a horrible point,
Ralph, you know, we find about 10% of the demons in people when they're manifesting. About 10% of the people, after we finish the ministry, do not remember anything that went on. The demon was up and talking through them and all that. And I often wonder, in situations like you described, if that might have been one of those 10%ers where the demons were up and he didn't realize what he'd done until afterwards.
But it is a possibility.
If the average person has several dozen demons, guess how many demons that person would have, or the person in Colorado in that grocery store that's got so many. They got every bit of their three dozen and many more there to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said that they do.
Yes, that's probably certainly the case, Pastor. You know, I read the story in the paper, and assuming everything that's relayed was being relayed truthfully, that thought did cross my mind. But he never did make the claim. He didn't know what he did. He didn't know. He just said he got fed up with them and went out, got the gun, come in, and kill them all. So, but, you know, that's not the typical thing. It's definitely not something they find at Deliverance Ministries. What they have at Deliverance Ministries is generally people that are dealing, 9 out of 10 times, dealing with things such as depression, torment, unforgiveness. May have had some, seems to be very common, a lot of sexual abuse when they were younger. Maybe a lot of drug use. But, you know, these are things that people have affected them. They've worked towards, you know, they're believers in Jesus. They know the saving power of Jesus. They're working towards it. But they just can't seem to overcome certain things. And I know that was the case with myself, is I knew the things that I would do from time to time was wrong. I did not want to do them. I hated myself when I did them. But the thought was always there, just do it. And it wasn't until I started realizing that these were evil spirits and not just my flesh it was pretty easy to control, and the flesh is so easy to control after deliverance, in my opinion.
Yes, well, that's the way it goes. So the good news being, again, there is an answer for those that have all those kinds of problems, and fear is so
yes.
common. Most everybody.
Well, Pastor, we have Josh. Josh, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes.
All right, Josh, I'm so glad you called in. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you well enough, yeah. How are you, Everett?
All right. Yeah, Josh, why don't you go ahead and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance, what your differences were like and changes you've seen. And so forth.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a Christian home, like a lot of people did in the central part of the United States. And I was first saved, I think, about 6. And by the time I got to 13, some things were wrong. And 14 to 15, and I definitely backslid and ended up getting into drugs and alcohol. And you know, I first encountered deliverance after, you know, I was maybe 22 or 23. And just to give you a little reference, I'm 39 now. So I was living with my grandpa, and my grandpa had a friend, and I think he might be giving his testimony next. But he shows up at my grandpa's house, and I'm struggling, and he begins to pray for me. And I received deliverance from cigarettes and alcohol and drugs, and I was okay for a little bit. My heart didn't change. And then 11 years later, I really was under the judgment of God, and God was really dealing with me, and I was, it was about 2015. And, you know, I managed to stay clean and sober, and that just wasn't enough. I was depressed. The enemy was tormenting me. I had several things going on that were very stressful, and I reached a breaking point, and I was in my house. I couldn't sleep. I was tormented at night, and, you know, having had some spiritual understanding, it served me a little bit there, because I started to hear this voice that says, go in there and get your 45. Go get your 45. And, this is not worth fighting. And I said, wait a minute, systems check. Something's wrong here, because I'm pretty sure I don't want to die. I'm pretty sure that's not my voice. So what is it? And it really scared me when it hit me. I said, that is an evil spirit. And God must have showed that to me, because I wasn't thinking about God. You know, I thought I knew God. I thought I was a Christian. I thought a lot of things at that time that turned out to not be true. But I did run in to the other room, because I figured I had to get out of that room. And I fell on my knees and I cried out to God. And that began a process that ended up with the same gentleman. I call him Brother Wally. He shows up with my grandpa and my dad at my dad's house, and is the same guy that had prayed for me 11 years before. And I thought, well, this couldn't be an accident. I really need some help, because I was struggling. You know, I really wanted to serve God, but I couldn't quite get free. And, you know, I was tired of 12-step programs. I was tired of, a form of godliness that denied the power thereof. I was hungry. And immediately this man began to pray for me, began to speak to things. He had me renounce things. It transformed. There was about 3 sessions there where it was pretty intense. And I experienced the power of God. I realized I had been running from God for 20 years. I realized that I had a call in my life. I said yes. And it turns out that this man had been trained at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. And he had first encountered a gentleman by the name of Everett Cox. And I began to learn about the history of this and thought, I need to learn more and more about this. This is the most power and the most peace and the most free that I've ever been. I considered myself, you know, doing okay. You know, I thought, well, I knew something. But I'd never experienced power like that. And when I said, yes, I'm going to follow God, I said, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make war against the devil. That's my mission. And so that's kind of the briefly sort of just a, you know, from my early days to about 5 years ago. And since I said yes to God, and since I was given the power through, you know, the deliverance of, you know, Luke 10:19 and Luke 4:18, and then learning about this, it was amazing to me, and it was very profound that I had not seen this in the church. And I grew up in a Pentecostal church. I grew up in around people that spoke in tongues, and you know, I kind of felt the presence of God. And I thought, well, there's a lot of people like me. I know there are. They're suffering. And I'm free today. You know, I don't have to go and, you know, do a bunch of steps. You know, I started to realize that people were really working really hard, and they were kind of like the Pharisees, and they really wanted to be free if only they had a Savior. But they did. And I thought, man, what a need. And so I've been battling and fighting and trying to minister to other people. And then recently, you know, after many battles, through some friends that I met, I decided to come and see what was going on with Deliverance Ministries. And it was incredible. You know, and understanding that, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that these things are afflicting the soul, that just because I'm being attacked and I have these points of contact in the world, you know, the world, the flesh, and the enemy, and these things are at war with the spirit. They're at war with the kingdom of God. You know, it makes it a lot easier to go say, hey, you know, I need some help. I need to get restored. Something's not right here. Can you minister to me, you know? And to go through that process, and, you know, this is how I came to be talking to you all today. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm so humbled. You know, I went through the last two weeks I was down there, you know, got a serious overhaul, I guess, as Everett puts it. And, you know, when I got there, I said, man, I'm tired. I'm weary. You know, I've been beat up. I felt like Job one week. I said, God, why don't you just kill me? This oppression isn't going to leave. Here, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I've got my fire back today as a consequence of dealing with the root cause of the problem, which is demonic forces trying to wage war and stop me from doing what God's called me to do, which is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And, you know, I can't imagine where I would be. I'd be dead. I'm sure of it. If it weren't for the power of the blood, the cross, and the name of Jesus manifested in the form of the deliverance, just like Jesus did in the Gospels. I'll share a little bit of a of a kind of a vision, kind of a something God showed me one morning a few weeks ago. I woke up, it was about, 4:30. And I began to hear these numbers in my spirit. And, you know, I'm half asleep, half awake. It says the number's 434. 434. And then in my spirit it came up, Luke 434. And I said, you know, I don't know if I remember how many actual verses there are in Luke chapter 4. I said, well, this must be God. Well, I looked up at my clock, and it's 4:33. Okay. That's interesting. So I wake up, you know, I'm just compelled, and I get my Bible, and it's Luke 4:33. And if you read Luke 4:33, it starts a thought, and about the 41st verse of chapter 4, it ends a thought. And in those verses, it starts out, and in the synagogue there was a man, and he had an unclean spirit. And this spirit goes on to recognize who Jesus is. He says, thou art the Holy One, the Christ, the Holy One of God. And he goes on to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to remove things from people that were blocking them from being free, healed. And it was so profound. God was speaking directly to me, and he was saying, look, there's a greater authority. I'm going to show you, the remnant, the body of Christ here, the ecclesia, what it means to really walk in this authority. This is coming, you know. And it was me, and it was something that was very personal, yet I knew that this was something that was for, you know, that was going to be coming. It was going to be more widely known. And I thought, well, what could be needed more? That people will walk with authority and carry their sword and use it. So I thought that was incredible. I was just so grateful to hear from God awesome. That way. And that's the way my life has been the last 5 years. You know, I've learned to pray. I've learned to fast. I mean, you couldn't have told me 10 or 15 years ago this is the way that I would live. I've never had so much peace and so much joy. And my heart breaks for those that don't have understanding of this, or those that reject this, or those that think either, you know, you're not saved, you don't have a good foundation, or you know, it's just, like I heard the other gentleman say, it's just your flesh. Well, yeah, it's your flesh. What chance does your flesh have and your soul have when you're not contending with the enemy that afflicts them? You know?
Amen.
And the greatest trick the devil's ever played is to say he's not there.
Yeah, right. So true. That's so awesome.
You know, I go ahead.
Well, that's just
did you have something different there,
Josh? Well, I was going to say, when you were ministered to, you know, we got the head demon up. Maybe you could describe what that felt like.
It felt like something taking over. It was being conscious of it. It felt like somebody was something, someone, another personality is taking over, and you can hear them. And, you know, it seemed like the more angry it got, the more it had kind of a mind of its own. And that was rather bizarre. And
yeah, it's an interesting phenomena.
It is.
And
it is.
We got the top 10 lies, that head demon gave us, and it was talking in your head, and you've been hearing those lies, had you not, in your head?
Absolutely, repeatedly.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the game they play. It's amazing how they do that with so many people. That's going on everywhere. And some people follow the lies thinking it's the truth. But some people think it's God talking to them, which the enemy loves that. You know, and they'll follow it.
Yes.
And what about the gifts? Josh, did you know you had all the gifts that we were able to write down? Is that the head demon gave the gifts? God-given gifts?
I don't recall the gifts, but I know that I have some gifts. I know they've been trying to be stopped. Refresh my memory on that, Everett.
Okay, well, they should be on that yellow handout, I'm pretty sure. Maybe I skipped that the other night. But normally, after the live program, I would have the head demon give me the top 10 gifts. But I guess we didn't do that with you, I don't believe. But anyway, it's rather amazing. A lot of times, I'll write them down on the yellow tablet, and a lot of times they don't. People didn't even know they had all those gifts. God-given, right at birth.
Yeah, well, I have no trouble believing that. I'm aware of some of the gifts that God has given to me. And, you know, I'm aware of, you know, some of the things there. And to me, that's just another reason why those demons are there in the first place, to stop that from being used for the kingdom of God.
Well, that is exactly right. In fact, when I get the gifts written out on the yellow pad, I'll say to the head demon, well, with all these gifts, is this why you've been trying to block his life? And the demon always says, yes. You know, well, that's their mission, to block a person's gifts, to block their life and the gospel and life abundant, block their destiny. And they're good at it. And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You're so right about the compassion you have for the others around you, because it's true. It's everywhere around us, and the majority of the people don't have the slightest idea about all this.
No. No. No, it's a military concept. It's a military strategy. As my friend Brother Wally says, and probably others, Jesus is a military man. And that part of the personality or the person of Jesus is almost unknown to some people. I'm often shocked and surprised. But on the other hand, they haven't experienced what I have. And I want them to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Think of how your life is going to be from now forward, Josh. Hold on to your hat.
Well, I am. It's wonderful. Wonderful to have the fire and the authority and the sensitivity to the Spirit of God that had been waning there. And I'm grateful to you, brother, for your ministry and your faithfulness. And intend to do whatever I can to give back and be of service, you know?
Yes, that'd be great, Josh. And, we have about a lot of noise.
Say again,
there's in the minute remaining, Josh, can you
I'm having a little bit of a bad connection, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But what would you say to the people just as we wind up now?
I would say that if you read the Gospels and you do what Jesus says to do, and ignore anyone that tells you otherwise, then you have a great chance of walking in the fullness of what salvation really means.
Amen. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Great testimony. God bless you.
Sure appreciate you coming on.
Amen. Thank Bye-bye. You, brothers. You all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Well, Pastor, we have Wally. Wally, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes.
Yes, hi, Wally. I'm so glad you called in. And that's my friend up in the Branson area, Ralph, co-host here. And why don't you go ahead, Wally, and give some history on yourself first and when you were born again.
Okay. My name's Wallace E.D. Maloney III. I've been in ministry for 25-some years. I was born and raised in western Oklahoma. I come from a broken home and a lot of problems, and I left at 15 years old. And I had an experience in a First Christian Church at 5 or 6 years old. So you could say I had the call of God on my life, and it was real to me. I didn't know what I had, but it was good, you know, and I always hated to see people take God's name in vain, and so there was a fruit was there. And later on, after a lot of battles with sin, I got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I left Clinton, Oklahoma, went to Oklahoma City, got a job there working, and went to welding school, and I was an oil field welder. Made my way to Stillwater, Oklahoma. I worked in shops and welding shops and oil field welding. Married 16 years and divorced. I have two wonderful children, son and a daughter. And I had a battle with alcohol. And after my divorce, this testimony on this is really powerful. I was dying. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was in my little shack I had. I had no money. I was at my end. And I opened the Bible. Of course, Mother had died, and she always told me to put Jesus first. So I opened the Bible and started reading the book of Revelation. And I'd cry, God, I want to know what this says. And I'd take a drink. God, I want to know what this says. And I'd read it. Take another drink. After 4 or 5 days, I said, a drunk don't know nothing, so I'll just sober up, and then I'll read this book of Revelation, and I'll know what it means. So after 6, 7 days, I opened the door. I threw out the whiskey. I threw out the beer and cursed it. I went over and took my fist, and I beat on the Bible. I said, God, deliver me once and for all, and I'll serve you. And all of a sudden, I felt a presence come in the room. And the best way I can explain it is like a whirlwind come out of the pages of the book. And the hair on my neck stood up, and I thought, I pushed the Bible back, and I said, oh, something's in here. And I realized I just prayed for God to deliver me, and I felt a snap. You know, kind of like a snap in your fingers, like inside. And God sovereignly delivered me from alcohol, hate, and anger. And I had never had another desire for another drink. I was set free. So then,
God.
Yeah. That, and so then, God set me aside for 3 years. I was in Alexander Scorby, narrator of the New Testament. And that's how I learned the Bible, was repeating it, walking back and forth and quoting the scriptures as I was hearing them quoted. I went to a few different churches. And a few days after I was done with the alcohol, there was a lady standing in my parking lot. and she was a Pawnee, I think, Indian lady. She was raised by Pentecostal holiness people. Her name was Grandma Ann, and she's soon deceased. But she was an intercessor. And she says, I don't even know why I'm here, but what do you do? And I told her, and I said, you look like my mama with that big, thick Bible. Could you teach me how to pray? So, boy, they invited me to their house. Grandma Ann started praying. But I was at her house every night for 2 weeks, and she said, the Lord says, you got black spots. You need deliverance. You got demons. I said, well, I imagine I probably got a whole boatload of them. So she said, there's a man in Oklahoma City, a man by the name of Everett Cox, Deliverance Ministries at the Founders Tower. We need to go up there and see what this deliverance is. She said, I've been curious about this ministry. I said, well, I'm desperate. I'll do anything. And I'd already been delivered from the alcohol. So we went on the way up there, and out in the parking lot of the Founders Tower, I had butterflies in my stomach. I told Grandma Ann, I said, something in me don't want to go up there. She says, well, that's probably them demons stirring around in you. So we went.
Yes.
And first thing I saw, we were standing in the hallway, and you came up and greeted us and shook my hand. And when you did, I puked up liquid out of my lungs. And I coughed 3 or 4 times, and I just coughed it in my hands. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And then, Deborah, you said, well, the Lord didn't wait for us to go through the system. You're getting delivered out here in the hallway. Praise God for anointed men of God. So you've been a dear friend of mine all these years. And then we came up there on Monday nights and helped you. Went through the training, got your little manuals and for a few months, and then all of a sudden God sent me to the land of New Mexico. I started out my street ministry. That must have been somewhere in the early 90s. And I was going to houses, homes, out on the streets. I'd contract wells, and my prayer was, Lord, send me to a poor people that needs Jesus. Never to ask for anything but to give. So he sent me to the Spanish people. They're in the Espanola Valley, which is north of Santa Fe and back east a little, west a little bit. And so I started meeting people. I met a lady in a church. She was an intercessor. Started going into jails, the missions where the homeless were at, out on the streets, occasional churches here and there. So God was sending me out, and nothing could. Of course, I didn't remarry or nothing, so I didn't have nothing to hold me. All I cared about was seeing people saved and delivered. And I would try to tell this to the mainstream church people, and they wouldn't receive it. I'd even give them evidence of it, and they still wouldn't. So I said, okay, I'll just go with Jesus. So that's what I did. And let's see here. So deliverance, I took one of Everett's little manuals. It used to be little blue forms with a little plastic binding. And I would just get them cornered, a lot of them guys didn't speak no English. So I learned a few little Spanish words, and I would just touch them, and they would puke the demons out right there in the ground, in driveways, parking lots. Then as I got to meet people, I got a little bit of a following. And I wound up going in their homes, and one couple was, their marriage got healed and delivered. Their marriage was in bad shape. And they gave me the keys of their home. They said, you're our new grandpa. You stay here with us. And then God would put provision in front of me everywhere I'd go. So that went, and I was, how are we doing? Are we doing okay?
Oh, yeah, you're doing great. Well, go ahead.
So I started preaching Luke 4:18, Luke 10, and deliverance scriptures. And I said, now what we're going to do is personal ministry, but we're going to do corporate. We're going to do mass deliverance. So God taught me how to do mass deliverances because there were so many people. And pretty soon I trained them and got them to help me do the deliverances. And one by one they were getting free. The news was traveling. And my heart was in New Mexico when I was back here. I'd stay out there 2 or 3 weeks at a time, sometimes a whole month. I'd come back here, and in 3 days, I'm saying, what am I doing here? I need to get back out there. My heart was like out there, you know, and my body was here in Oklahoma. So, and then I'd work and get welding jobs and pay my own way. We had some glorious, powerful ministries in homes where the glory cloud would just fill the homes. And I'd release the anointing of deliverance and mass deliverance, and I just start naming the scriptures. You get around Everett, he's got them all memorized. He don't need no paper. But I memorized the words, just call them out. Then I got off into dealing with generational curses and started breaking those. Marriages were getting healed. We even did children's deliverance and taught the children how to do deliverance on their drug addict parents. That was a wild time. And so that went for a few years. And let's see what next. And then about 6-7 years ago, I wasn't doing much, and I wondered what was wrong. But God was closing that door right there. And I said, I need to sit under apostle or prophet's ministry. I need to hear from God. And I'd pray and pray and pray and pray, and I just couldn't get no direction. So finally I went to California to Apostle Al Fornes, and he called me up, and he prophesied to me, and he said, your ministry is not in Mexico, and God says he's shutting that door. He's put you in a cave, and he's readjusting some of your thinking, and he's going to send you to the nations. You'll be a sent one. And he said, the nations in the States. And I thought, well, okay. And because we had a little orphanage work going on down in Juarez, Mexico, and they were stealing the money we were sending them. So God shut that door, and he opened the door to that ministry in Window Rock, Arizona. So what happened, I left that meeting, in Al Fornes' meeting there in California, that Saturday night in a dream, there was two Indian shamans appeared to me and said, you will not change our traditions. I knew they were Indian shamans or sorcerers, whatever they were. So I said, okay, this has got to be God, because the demon spirits are picking up on this already. So I thought, okay, this is something, this is real. You know, you got to test them spirits, because there's a lot of false prophecy, you know. So I called my intercessors, yes. We tested the spirits. And I drove all that next morning early, all Sunday morning. I made it until my intercessor says, God is telling me to tell you to go to Window Rock, Arizona, to the Methodist Church. You'll see a pastor there by the name of Cecil Lewis. So I drove, and I finally found it. I went in and sat in the back of the church. There was about 50 people there. And he called me up. He said, you, sir, come up here. He said, we've been looking for you. God has sent you. So anytime God sends you somewhere, you're going to get witnesses on it.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying hallelujah, Wally. Keep going.
Well, it was, how would I have known any of these things, you know? It's all glory be to God. That's all I can say. God is sovereign. So the next thing happened, we set a time, and I told him, a pastor, I said, look, I don't do traditional falling down ministry at the at the sanctuary. I do what we call deliverance, Luke 4:18. He said, you do what God tells you to do, we'll follow. Well, that was a good pastor, wasn't it?
Amen. Wish there were more like that.
We set it up. I went home and came back. It was about 3 months later. We did a three-day deliverance revival. And I said, oh, Jesus, how am I going to do this? There's so much here. I don't have any help. So I thought, well, I'll train them as I go. I'll do a mass deliverance and bring them to the front. And I'd say, now, when you feel the Holy Ghost, come on, you just sit in the front pew. Don't fall on the floor and hold your head back and keep your eyes open. And I'm going to go down through here and touch you with the anointing oil, and Jesus is going to deliver you. And I got the deacon's wives to stand right behind me, and I said, now, you watch their eyes. Watch their countenance. And when their countenance starts changing and you see them shine, the demons have come out and they're free. If their countenance is down, we got to keep probing until we get the spirits out of them. There was incestual sins, unclean bastard spirits, and you name it, it was there. Because when you're those poor, those wonderful people that live there in the reservation, but they've been isolated. And wherever you find drunkenness, you're going to find the molestation and incest and all those things. So I learned a lot, and I trained up two deacons' wives. I turned to them, pointed to them, and said, a new sword. The gifts are going to work through you. You're going to discern these demons. And at about that time, this girl went in a trance. And I slapped her face. I said, her name was like Mary, I think. I said, Mary, I'm talking to Mary. She says, yes. I said, Mary, you call Jesus your Lord. And this spirit would bite her tongue, and she would stutter. She couldn't say Jesus. So we prayed, bound that spirit, and had her repent for opening the door through Indian medicine. I think she had, like, what they call it, the sweat lodges, sweat tents, where they invoke those spirits. And finally, I said, look at her. That's not her talking. And one of the ladies says, you really, it is. It's not her. I said, no, that's the demon praying the salvation prayer. So we bound, gagged, and paralyzed the tongue of that demon. I slapped her face and told her spirit to come up front and center and scream, Jesus, save me. And she did, and she got wonderfully born again through deliverance.
Right, God.
It sparked something in those elders and their wives at the church. Then the second night the church filled up, it doubled. Like there was 100 people the second night. And basically did the same thing. We just had them on the front rows. Because if demons fall on the ground, they curl up in a fetal position and they hide from the anointing. So I don't like to let them fall unless I know it's the Holy Spirit, you know. So I just set them in the front pews, and we did this. We had 35 testimonies at the end of it, the people getting up there and giving it. That pretty soon the testimonies was overtaking the time for the ministry. They were so excited, they never seen nothing like it. Well, to make a long story short, how much time we got here?
We got about 2 minutes. 10 and a half.
He's a half a minute?
No, 1.5 minutes.
1.5 minutes. Okay. What could I say, Lord, to glorify you? Jesus is the King. He is the deliverer. And since then,
and yes,
back, it caused a church split. And the ones who wanted Jesus, we rented the building. The pastor came. And now it's a full-blown Luke 4:18, Luke 10, deliverance minister church. And they're still going, and they've come against a lot of persecution, but they've got testimonies every Sunday of people getting delivered. We had a guy run in, and he was a drunk, and he threw himself at the altar and screamed, and we cast the spirit of death out of him. He jumped up rejoicing, saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. So we had exciting.
Hallelujah.
No dull, no boring, boring church. It was a very exciting every meeting, every service.
That will always be remembered out there, Wally. Well, in the remaining 30 seconds, what would you say to the people before we wind up, the listeners?
I would say humble yourself and do the works of Jesus. Follow Jesus, not religion. Pray for God to put somebody in your path, people. There's more to the gospel than just saying a little prayer. The gospel has to come with power and demonstration of the Spirit, and that your salvation is the beginning of consecration and cleansing, to be cleansed of that which is holding you back. The more deliverance you get, the closer you're going to get to Jesus.
Hallelujah. Wally, thank you so much, brother. That was so awesome.
Yes, Wally, thank you.
Yes, exciting ministry you've had through these years. We'll talk to you later, then. Bye-bye.
I went up on a mountain, and God sent me up on a mountain. And I could tell you lots of stories, but maybe I have to do it later on.
Well, you come back sometime and do that.
Yes, thanks, Wally. Bye-bye.
Once again, I thank the Lord for Everett and his work. There's no telling how many people's lives are touched through his obedience. And if we'll all be obedient, you can be a shepherd to one person at a time and lead them to Jesus. Get around the people who don't know deliverance and do deliverance, and you'll start acclimating. Your eyes will be enlightened. You'll see it. Now plead with the pastors, humble
awesome.
Yourselves, and ask the Lord Jesus to open your eyes to Jesus' deliverance. So be it.
Yes. Awesome. Bye-bye. Talk to you later, Wally. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Maybe we should just let him go the whole hour.
Amen. That was awesome.
Well, he just summed it up really well there. You know, that in that 1 hour, that one time, you could be the difference for somebody. And that's just part of being ready in season and out of season. Well, it's just two great, wonderful testimonies. I'm so thankful for them. Thankful for these men and their service. Thankful for you, Pastor. Thankful for this opportunity to be able to come on the air each week. And if you have any questions or need deliverance yourself, deliveranceusa.com. You can get a hold of us there. Or you can get the book, Doing Supernatural Works of Jesus, written by Pastor Cox. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office, 307-742-7582. Don't put it off. It'll change your life. You heard the testimonies. And I'll just about everybody says, I wish I knew about it sooner. So we thank you. We'll see everybody next week. God bless and good night.
And God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on.